Grace you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word which we hear this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 verses 22 to 34. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and give, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you that are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all of these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money and bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. So here's a scenario that most of us are probably familiar with. Your wife comes home from wherever, walks in the door, and immediately starts talking to you. Meanwhile, you're trying to watch the game. She wants you to pay attention, but the game is on, right? She'd very much like it if you would shut off the distraction and listen to what she has to say. In the same way, God is coming to us this morning. He has something he wants to talk to us about that is far more important than a shopping trip. And he wants us to shut off the distractions. That's why he tells us in our text to go and sell what you have and give to the poor. Not because having things is wrong or evil, but because he knows how easily we're distracted from the things that are important, the things we should be concentrating on. You know, how easily right now we're thinking about golfing instead of listening to his word. He has something very important to give us. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Anxiety, fear, worry, these things are sin. The first commandment reminds us that we should trust in God. And every time we fail to trust in God, we're sinning against the first commandment. But despite that fact, Jesus doesn't come to us this morning lecturing and condemning us. But instead, because he loves us and died for our sins, he comes in his grace and in his love to remind us why we do not need to be afraid. He knows how weak we are and how easily we get anxious and worried about things that we don't need to be anxious and worried about. Psalm 103, verse 14 reminds us he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Jesus knows that this sin of worry and anxiety is so ingrained in us that it's hard for us to let it go. And so instead of a lecture this morning, in his grace and in his love, he forgives our sins and reminds us of three reasons why we don't need to fear, we don't need to worry. And the first of these is simply because the evidence of his power, his grace, his loving kindness is all around us. "Consider the ravens," he says, "for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them." The word consider there means to study, to watch carefully. It reminds me of the Wright brothers lying on the ground and watching the birds carefully for many, many, many hours to see how they can fly. And after a careful study of the birds and what they're doing, they were able to thereby build the world's first successful aircraft. God wants us in the same way to consider, to study what's all around us. Not so that we can build an airplane, but so that we can be reminded of his loving kindness, so that we don't have to worry. The first verse of our epistle reading from Hebrews is one that is so often misquoted, so often misunderstood. It's one of my pet peeves when I hear people talking about how faith means trusting or believing in something for which there is no evidence. That's not what Hebrews 11:1 is telling us. In fact, Hebrews 11 gives us throughout that chapter a whole list of evidence why we can trust and believe God's word. It goes through example after example of how God is faithful and has kept his word. It says, look at all these times when God promised something and fulfilled it. Look at all these people who trusted in God and were not put to shame. Hebrews 11 verse 1 is reminding us that, yeah, we can't prove that Jesus is going to come again. We can't prove that heaven exists, but we can look back on all the times that God kept his promises and recognize that God is faithful and that what he said does come to pass, and therefore we have plenty of evidence to trust God's faithfulness. And that's what Jesus is reminding us about in our sermon text as well. Look around at all the many examples of God's loving kindness, of his faithfulness, and trust that he can be trusted. That's what faith means. You know, we really don't even need the word faith. We just use the word trust. It means the same thing, to trust in God. Have confidence in him who is faithful. We saw that in our Old Testament reading as well, that Abraham kind of believed God, but also sometimes doubted him. I mean, he believed him enough to leave. That's pretty good faith. I don't want to downplay Abraham's faith. But we do see time after time that Abraham also had doubts, failed to trust God. And what did God do? God reassured him and built up his faith, showed that he was faithful. And so we can look around and see this evidence of his love and his faithfulness, not only in the ravens and the lilies, but in our own lives. We can look back and see God's faithfulness in our own lives. This is one of the reasons why it's really a good idea to keep a prayer journal. Because 5 years from now, then you can look back on the things you were praying about today, and you can realize, oh, that's right. I was worried about that. I was anxious about that. I was having trouble with that, and God helped me. He gave me the strength to get through it. He answered this prayer. Or maybe you look back and find out, well, no, God didn't answer that prayer, but it turns out that really wasn't that important anyway. And that have this reminder throughout your life of the ways that God proved his faithfulness. We can see God's faithfulness in the birds and in our own lives as a reminder that there is no reason to worry, but trust instead in his grace. The second reason Jesus says we don't have to live in fear is because we can talk to him anytime we want to. Husbands, not so good at shutting the TV off and listening to our wives. God is always there to listen. That doesn't mean that you're off the hook, husbands. You still should probably shut the TV off and listen to your wives. But when you fail, we know that God is there. Jesus is always there, 100%. He's a much better listener than we are. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And Peter, of course, reminds us, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And we just heard the other week about the parable of the persistent neighbor who kept on knocking until his friend answered the door. And Jesus reminds us we are always welcome to keep on knocking at his door, to come to him in all our troubles, to talk to him. Very often when we're afraid or anxious, all we really need is someone to listen, and Jesus is always there. And the third reason Jesus tells us in our text why we don't need to live in fear, worry, and anxiety is because our sins are forgiven. And the biggest problem we have, the only problem we really have, has already been taken care of. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He doesn't say it's God's good pleasure that you earn the kingdom. He doesn't say it's God's good pleasure that you work hard enough for the kingdom. He says it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus has removed our worry, fear, and anxiety by announcing to us that forgiveness of sins and reminding us that we are saved by his grace. The one thing we never have to fear is what's going to happen to us after we die. The one thing we never have to fear is that God is angry with us because of our sin. We know that Jesus died for our sins and rose again, and his resurrection declares our justification. Do not fear, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Every single time that God sends a message to human people, whether it's him appearing himself or through what, an angel appearing to humans, almost every single time they begin with those same words, fear not. Fear not. God doesn't send his angels to condemn us. Jesus himself said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through me the world might be saved. He does not come to condemn us in our sin, but to announce to us the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Our psalm this morning, if you read the pre-service psalm there, Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he has chosen as his own inheritance. Peter reminds us, you are God's chosen nation. You are God's own special people. You are the ones that he chose, as Paul also reminds us, before you were even born, to be his own special people as his inheritance. You who were once far off have been brought near, and therefore, as his little children, you have nothing left to fear. And so we are reminded from Jesus' own lips once again, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Despite the sinfulness of our hearts that so often fail to trust God, Jesus announces that that sin, like all our sins, are forgiven, that we can see the evidence of his loving kindness, grace, and trustworthiness all around us, and that whenever we're afraid or anxious or worried, he is always ready and willing to hear us. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.